Okay, it is a very powerful evening that we've just begun. And there are many, many facets of Yom HaZikaron that we will be exploring. But the first facet and the first angle, I can think of no better way to begin by hearing the perspectives and the Torah of our speaker this evening, Rav Shalom Rosner. My advice to you is way after tonight and way after tomorrow and sometime is to go online and to listen to one of the hundreds, if not more than that, shiurim that Rav Rosner shares online with literally the entire world. My wife and I were traveling in the United States a couple summers ago, and we were talking to some wonderful Jews. Never met them before. Where are you from? Israel? What part? Beit Shemesh? Do you know Rabbi Rosner? They said, we know Rabbi Rosner from there. So I said, oh, sure, do you know him? Never met him. So how do you... Online. The world has changed. And my recommendation to you, Shiurim on Gemara, on Halacha, on Parsha, on Nach, on Mitzvos, Hashkafa, I must have forgotten a few. Basically, if it's Torah, you can find it from Rav Rosner online. I consider Rav Rosner a close friend and one of my Rebbeim, and I hope you will feel the same. The world feels that way, and hopefully you will as well. It's a zechus for me to be able to introduce to you Rav Shalom Rosner.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Goldsmith. It's wonderful to be back. I think I was here a number of years ago. I remember the base medrash looks familiar. So I was here, and just to share some thoughts. It's really more thoughts. Rabbi Goldsmith called me up a week or two ago asking if we'd be able to learn together tonight. What can we talk about? Yom HaZikaron. What can we talk about on this very intense day? So I started to think. It is, as I said, the first word that comes to my mind is intensity. Before I made Aliyah, was not really so focused. It was not intense at all. I didn't really feel it in the States. But it's intense. Maybe it's more intense this year. It's the first year that I have a son in the Army, in the Tzanchanim. But the question is, what brings that intensity? And why should it be an intense day? And what are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to take with us? What can and what should we be focusing on? And what can we take with us into our lives? We're going to have three ideas about Yom HaZikaron. Then we're going to talk about those three ideas and how it can relate to our lives and what messages that we can take with us, not just for today, but as Rabbi Goldsmith said, in the coming days and months and years of our life, remembering that first maybe Yom HaZikaron that we were introduced to be able to appreciate. Message number one. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, source number one, Asar Nisyonos Nisasa Avram Avinu Olav HaShalom. Avram Avinu had 10 tests. He went through 10 tests, as we know. V'amad Bekulam. And he was successful in all of them. Lahodiyah, to tell us, Kama Chibaso Shal Avram Avinu Olav HaShalom. How great is Avram Avinu's chiba, how much Hashem has affection for him. 10 tests. What are those 10 tests? It does not say in the Mishnah what the 10 tests were. Some of them are more obvious than others, but the Rishonim debate what exactly those 10 tests were. And even number 10 is a machlokas. I gave you one of the opinions, the more accepted opinion, Rashi on Pirkei Avos quotes from the Medrash, from the Pirkei Derabalazar, Nisasam Ravinu, Mifarashim Pirkei Derabalazar, the Chulu. He quotes from the beginning, line 2, Pikish Nimra Lahargo, Avram Avinu broke his father's idols, Nimra wanted to throw him into the fiery furnace. That test isn't even recorded in the Torah. Good question, why not? Not for now. He hid, and he was thrown into the fiery furnace. Higleo me Eretz Molato. He had to leave the place that he was used to, a comfortable place, go to Eretz Yisrael, go to Eretz Canaan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him there. Then there was a famine, and he had to leave. Vinil Chasara, he goes down to, I listen to God. I left my birthplace, I come to the land. There's a famine, I have to leave. I go to this new place, my wife is taken. And she's taken by this king. And then I have to fight the wars. And has Bris Milah at age 99. All the 10th test. But what is the 10th test? The final, the ultimate test, according to Rashi, according to most Rishonim, Akedas Yitzchak. The Akedah, bringing his son to Har Moriah, 20-minute, 15-minute drive from here. That's the spot where Abraham Avinu saw the cloud. That's the spot, and he's ready to shecht his son. That is the ultimate test. That's the highlight. The Medrash even tells us that every schus that we have in the Jewish history goes back to Akedas Yitzchak. The Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, Surah 73, Be'ezah schus, in what schus do we have this special relationship with Hashem? Everything that we have, there are two opinions in the Medrash. The first one is Maimon Har Sinai. Okay, we understand that. We accepted the Torah. Nasa v'nishma, but opinion number two, they both have to do with 3 days. 3 days of preparation. Maimon Har Sinai, Rabbi Levi Yomar, Bizchus shel Yom Shlishi shel Avraham Avinu. Bizchus the Akeda. That's the test. That's what Hashem remembers when he wants to give merit to the Jewish people. He remembers Akedas Yitzchak. Now I remember I love Klal Yisrael. Now I remember I want to bring good things for Klal Yisrael. Question. Something that we maybe never thought of before, but some of the Mefarshim ask it. Out of all the tests that Avraham Avinu went through, the Akedah was the only one that at the end of the day, he didn't have to do. He didn't even go through with it. Hashem says, you wanted to? Great! Thank you! Go home. It's as if you did it. The test that Avram passed that means the most for all of us, for Jewish history, for the millennia, every single day of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we talk about Akedas Yitzchak. We add in the Slichos, a paragraph. Some have the minhag of saying the Akedah every day. But that test, the Akedah, which is the one that lasts for centuries in history, that's the one that he didn't even have to do. That's pretty amazing. Isn't that interesting? He went into the fiery furnace. He was a famine. His wife was taken. All the other ones, he did something and he succeeded. Here, he wanted to do something. He was ready to do something, and yet he didn't even have to do it. So what is so special about this? What is so unique that this test is the one that lasts for us, even though Avraham Avinu Lamaisa didn't even have to do it? What is the uniqueness of Akedas Yitzchak? So maybe the secret is, if we think about the concept of schus avos, schut avot, they did something, so it's great for us too, that we reap the fruits of their labor, we get the schar that they did. Schus avos, really, if you think about it, is a double-edged sword. It's a great thing to invoke, but it's also a little dangerous. Dangerous. What's dangerous about schus avos? My great-great-grandfather, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, they were made. Why is that dangerous? Let's learn together a Shla Kadosh. The Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bechukosai, source number 4, V'zacharti es b'risi Yaakov, v'af es b'risi Yitzchak, v'af es b'risi Avraham, I remember Yaakov, Yitzchak, I remember the avos. Where is this Pasuk? Anybody remember? It's in the middle of the Tochacha, the terrible curses that exists both in Bechukosai and Kisavo, the two places in the Torah. So in the middle of that, there's this pasuk. Hashem says, I remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And how most Mefarshim understand that, including Rashi and others, is that even though when Hashem is hurting us and punishing us, He gives us a little nechama, a little comfort in the middle. I'm still here. A father is, you know, screaming at a child, but remember, I love you. Remember, I'm only doing this because... So in the middle of the Tochacha, there's a pasuk that Hashem kind of says, yeah, but remember, I remember Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's Rashi, that's the simple interpretation. Says the Shlach HaKadosh. You get one at the Tveri, he's buried right next to the Rambam. Right on next to his kever, they have the Tefillah of the Shlach. The Minhag of Bnei Yisrael is to say that Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, coming up in a few weeks. That's the day that people talk about the Shlach the most. Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, it's a Minhag to daven for your children that day. Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So anyway, says the Shlach HaKadosh, I disagree. In the middle of the Tochacha, all these curses, Hashem sticks in a pasuk that's good, that's positive? No. It's part of the curses. It's part of the Tochacha. Hashem says to us, look who your parents were. Look where you came from. Look what you could have been. You were given so much. My Alta Zeta, my great-grandfather was Avram Avinu, and look what I am. Says the Shlach Kadosh, it's part of the Tochacha. Kasha, is that Pasuk Ushon Nechama? No, it's not Nechama. He says, no, Av Zeh Pasuk, line 2. Humi Tochachas Musar. Ki Eino Domer Rasha Ben Rasha Chote La Rasha Ben Tzadik. Somebody you didn't know better, okay, you can't fault them. Somebody whose parents were tzaddikim, and they didn't do what they could have done? Ki Rasha Ben Tzadik on Shom Aruba. Shira Aviv Misaik Bechasidus. Vuhu Eimin Agavosa V'yadav. And he's not doing what his father did. Says the Shlach Kadosh, Zchus Avos is a double-edged sword. It's something great and amazing and wonderful, but if we're not doing it also, then it's a problem. Then it's a little what's called a kitrug, a prosecutor. Because the contrast of the grandparents, the great-grandparents, and the children. So it's a little dangerous to invoke Zchus Avos. I'll give you another example. Parsha Shlach, the chait of the Meraglim. The spies come back, all of Klai Yisrael starts crying. And what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu has to come in and save the day. Moshe has to say, Hashem, no, stop, don't destroy them. No, Hashem, come on. And Moshe starts asking for forgiveness. So we know a little bit what Moshe does when he asks for forgiveness. We say it a lot, we say it 7 times during the Ela. We say it throughout that time of year. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rach, V'chanun, Yud Gimel Midos, of compassion of Hashem. Those are all listed in Parshas Kisisa. If we look in Shlach, Moshe Rabbeinu is also asking for compassion. And he starts, and for some reason, he only mentions some of the Midos. Doesn't mention all of them. The Pasuk says, bottom of the page, source 7, Hashem, Erech HaPayim Rav Chesed, no MS. No se ches. No, doesn't say no se ches la lafim. No se. They're only half there. Where are the other? Where are the rest of them? All these midos of Hashem. Right, we just spoke about it at the Seder. All the way at the end of the Seder, if you were singing it, right? The 13 midos of Hashem. Who knows 13? Right? The 13 midos of Hashem. So says, asks the Mefarshim, ask the Ramban, ask Rabbeinu Bachai. Where are the other midos? I'll read it to you from Rabbeinu Bachai. He's a little more graphic. Source number 8, top of the next page. You know why Moshe only mentioned some of them? Because Moshe can't mention a midah which Bnei Yisrael just failed in. He can't mention the midah of MS if the Jews just, in this case, weren't MSic. He can't mention the one that's important for us. Notes are chesed la'alafim, that Hashem remembers the kindness of the forefathers for generations and generations. Why? Because we didn't act like our forefathers by the chait of the Meraglim. They loved Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu left everything to come to Canaan, and we rejected it. You can't mention the Zchus Avos in that context, because there's the contrast between the Avos and the Banim. So that's where Rabbeinu Bachai says it can't be mentioned. So the concept of Zchus Avos is amazing, but it's a double-edged sword. It could be a little dangerous to mention. Except, and now we get to our first point, says Rav Mirsky in one of his Svarim, except there's one area of our lives that there's no negative. There's nothing dangerous about bringing up Zchus Avos. Klal Yisrael, nationally, regarding one area, is perfect. Is exactly like the Avos, and have been like the Avos for the past 2,000 years. And that's in terms of literally Mesiras Nefesh, Akedos, Karbanos, giving our lives for our Kadosh Baruch Hu because we're Jewish. Because people cannot stand that there's something called the chosen nation. Regarding that area of our lives, we're no less than any of the generations throughout history, going all the way back to Avram Avinu. Why is Akedas Yitzchak the most defining zchus that we have?
because there's no downside.
There's nothing that we have to be ashamed of, that we're not like them. Rachmana litzlan. In every generation, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we have given our lives for being Jewish. Says Reb Mirsky in Source 9, Rak b'nisayon ha'akeda, kishaba Am Yisrael ha'asker z'chus nisayon zeh. When Am Yisrael came to mention this chus, kan mishtate ka'kategar, v'ikach ha'saneger mimkomo. The prosecutor leaves and the defense attorney stands proudly. Hu ma'amin hu meitzik lefnei ribono olamim, es ha'akedo shein mispar lahem. The inimaginable, unable to count number of akedos that we have had. Women Chana v'sheva banel, like Chana and her seven sons, the Gemara describes, until the Kedoshei Tachvatat, the massacres in 1648, 1649, the Inquisition, Ad Kedoshei HaShoah, Ad Mesiris Nafsham Shel Chayale Yisrael, Ad Hayom Hazeh. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Zchus Avos is perfect in this area. Message number one of Yom HaZikaron. We connect ourselves to our heritage, to all the generations of past, that we are following in their footsteps, being a chain on the link of the Mesorah of carrying the torch of being God's nation. We, just like them, just like Avram Avinu, B'chol dar v'dar omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam nationally. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Zchus Avos is perfect. Message number one. We connect to our illustrious tradition and Mesorah in Jewish history. Message number two. Second idea of what makes this night and this day, it should be one of the most intense days of the year. Rav Dessler writes, well-known thought, many of you might have learned it this year in Strive for Truth, Miflam Elio. Rav Dessler writes, in his kuntres relating to Chesed, kuntres HaChesed, he discusses the relationship between giving and love. What's the chicken, what's the egg? Says Rav Dessler, is it that I love and therefore I give? That's what we usually think. I love my kids, therefore I give them everything. I love whatever, so I give. Says of Dessler, it's just the opposite. Giving creates love. The more you give, the more you love. You want a relationship to work? We need to give to the relationship. Time and effort and focus. Giving leads to love. And he quotes the story that he was familiar with, well, even before that, right? We know the halachas. Somebody goes out to war, Parsha Shoftim. Somebody goes out to war, he just got married. He didn't get to, live with his wife yet. He planted a vineyard, he didn't get to enjoy the fruits. He just gave a lot that created the relationship. He can't have focus right now. Giving creates love. He quotes a story that he knew of, Maisa Shahaya, towards the bottom of the page, young parents went through some type of difficult time. It was an emergency time. A war broke out. The father and the child were stuck in one area. The mother went to another area. I don't know how long that was for, but maybe it was for months. After the war, the relationships were never the same, he said. The father who gave and gave more to the child in that time, the relationship was different because of the giving. Even though they're both parents, they're both love. Maybe usually, in the world, a child is closer to the mother because the mother gives more. The mother carries the child for 9 months. The mother nurses the child. Giving leads to love. Today is a day when we recognize and remember the ultimate gift. Giving up of one's life for others, literally Mesiris Nefesh. Some of you might be familiar the story of a cousin of mine who was a Talmud in the yeshiva in Otniel, December 22nd, 27th, 2002. He was in the yeshiva, and that week was his turn to be do Toranut. He was one of the people working in the kitchen and getting the food ready for Shabbos. and he was going to bring it out. While he was in the kitchen, terrorists came in through the kitchen back door, started shooting, and with his last bit of strength, Noam Apter, Hashem Yikom Damo, my cousin, could have reached for his pistol and tried to fire, but he didn't choose that. He lunged for the door separating between the kitchen and the dining room, and he was able to slam the door, lock it, and throw the key into a dark corner. And in that way, allow the terrorists only a little window to start shooting, not getting anybody inside and giving them a minute or two to realize what was going on and save the rest of the yeshiva who was in the dining room. Giving for Klal Yisrael. A day of giving. A day about Koach HaNesina. A day where we might even lose our identity as individuals. There's an amazing thought. I just heard it on Friday. That's why it's not on your sheet, but write it down on the side. I'm not going to tell you where it came from. There's a whole story related to where this Rambam was pointed out. But either way, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam writes, when a soldier goes out to war, Perek Zayin Halacha Tezvav. When a soldier goes out to war, Yishan al Mikveh Yisrael, he should lean on Hashem. Who Moshiyo Beisar Hashem, who will save him at a time of difficulty. The Yeda, and he, the soldier, should know, Shal Yichud Hashem Uosim Olchama, he's fighting for God. The Yasim Nafsho Bachapo, he shall literally put his nefesh, put his soul on the line. V'lo Yira, V'lo Yifchat. He shall not fear. Don't think about your family. Wipe out the thoughts of your family from your heart. Just focus on the war. That's the Rambam. Soldiers at war, don't focus on the family. So one might think that what is the svara, what's the logic for this? If you focus on your family, you might not fight as well. You might be scared, I'm thinking, my wife and kids. So I heard from a Rav, Kiryat Arba, he said that when he once said over this Rambam to one of his Mifakdim, one of his officers in the army who was not from, he said, I disagree with the Rambam. I just the opposite. When I was a soldier, I thought of my wife and kids and it encouraged me, made me fight. I want to fight for them. I want to defend them. So he started thinking to himself, this Rav. So why does the Rambam say across the board? Maybe some people it helps, some people it hurt. Why does the Rambam say across the board? No. Can't think of your wife and children. Just focus on what you're doing. And then he found the Rav Kook. The Rav Kook says in Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara tells us, you might have learned about this in Navi Shiurim, that the custom was that for every soldier in David HaMelech's army, before they went out to war, every soldier wrote a get, a divorce document for their wives. Kohen is a problem, but why did they do that? So the simple interpretation is because, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, the husband is lost at war. We have no idea where he is. His wife shouldn't remain shamed and aguna. She should be able to get remarried. That's the simple interpretation. Says Rav Kook, it's deeper than that. Yes, that's true, but it's deeper. But when a soldier and Am Yisrael go out to war, they lose their individual status. Right now, they're Am Yisrael. Right now, they're not a husband, a father. They're Am Yisrael. They cut off, Moshe Rabbeinu was also Am Yisrael, right? He also couldn't have any family, normal relationships with his wife. Says Rav Kook, I'll read you his lashon. Hutzir ba'atzmo ki'ilu hisya'ish minachayim apratiyim. He is no longer private. V'holechu b'simcha. You're right to get Krisus, as if to say, I'm connected to God, I'm connected to the nation. It's a day of giving, and that giving might even make me lose my own identity because I'm connected to the rest of Am Yisrael. Some of you might have seen, maybe as part of the program tonight, also, there's a soldier, Gadi Ezri, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was killed in Jenin in 2002. It's a letter that you might have seen. He wrote to the girl he was engaged to that was only supposed to be read if he didn't come back. And he writes in that letter, I gave it to you. He writes in that letter in source number 11, HaRegesh HaKlal Yisraeli Shelcha, who's Esha Omer Laholichotcha? Maybe he knew this Rav Kook. The feeling of the nation, that's what's got to take you to the next stage of life. It's a day that we recognize the gift, the ultimate gift of life that many of our brothers and sisters gave for Am Yisrael, for us. The Gemara in Zvachim also tells us, Kuf Tezayin, Gemara tells us in source number 12, at the time of Maimon Har Sinai, all the nations of the world didn't know what was going on. They didn't know. There was thunder and lightning, and they all went to Bilam. Bilam HaRasha, he was around then. He was the wisest non-Jew there was. So they went to Bilam and said, Bilam, what's going on? It's like, what? They're like, what's going on? Is there a marble? Is there going to be another marble here? Bilam said, no, God promised, no more marble, don't worry about it. No, they said, no, God promised no marble of water. Maybe there'll be a marble of fire. Bilam said, calm down, there's no marble. Okay, so what is it? Says Bilam, line 6, I'm not reading everything inside, but feel free to look at it afterwards. Chem de tovo yeshli beveis kanaza. Hashem has an amazing treasure in his house, upstairs. The Torah. Hashem's giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's all that's happening. Don't worry. Hashem owes La'amo Yitain. The nations here, they're like, really? Okay, well, okay. Thank God. I don't know if they said thank God. But they said, okay, Hashem owes La'amo Yitain. Hashem Yivarech Hazam Abba Shalom. End of conversation. Ask for Meir Shapiro, founder of Daf Yomi, those of you who were in Lublin. Ask for Meir Shapiro, why in the world did the nations think that it was a marble? Bilam, what's going on? Is there a marble? Why do you think it was a marble? You didn't see any water. Okay, you saw some fire. But why did they think there was a marble? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Yeshayahu that when Mashiach comes, all the animals are going to get together and have peace with each other. Right, source 13, Vegarz the Avim Keves, the wolf and the sheep and the leopard and the goat, everybody's going to get along with each other. Ask Rav Meir Shapiro, why is that such an amazing prophecy? Wow, the animals are going to get along. It happened once before already. It happened once in history. All the animals got along. Where did the animals get along? Where? The marble, the teva. Every animal was on the teva. Miraculously. So what's the big deal that Yeshayahu is talking about? When Mashiach comes, there's going to be this amazing Vegar Zevim Keves. What's the big deal? Says Rav Meir Shapiro. There are two types of achdus that we can think about in the world. One type of achdus, of unity, is achdus because of a common enemy. Achdus because there's a tzara. Achdus, which is called Ein Breira. No choice. You want to survive, you better get along with each other. On the teva, it's not like the lion and the tiger and the rabbit loved each other. They wanted to survive, you better get along with each other. That's achdus type 1. Common enemy, common danger. Everybody on a boat. That's what happened at the teva. You know what Yeshayahu was talking about? That's a very different type of achdus. That's an achdus based on common dreams, shared aspirations, common goals. Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much in the world. Even the animals are going to have das. That's achdus of Yeshayahu. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, the nations of the world come to Bilam and they say, what is going on? What they see. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. They saw the Jewish people together, unified at the foot of the mountain. They said, what is going on here? Is there a marble? because that's the type of achdus that they can understand. Is there a mabul? Is there a danger? What's happening here? The Jewish people are all together. Says Bilam, no. This is a different type of achdus. This is an achdus based on the Torah. It's an achdus based on a common vision of how to live one's life and how to serve God to create one's eternity. This is a different type of achdus. This is an achdus based on Torah. And they said, wow, Hashem Yivarech Isamo Bashalom. The second message of Yom HaZikaron is that it's a day to recognize the gift that so many gave to connect and on behalf and to sacrifice for the rest of the nation. And even if there are people out there that don't recognize the gift, it's for us. I need to recognize the gift that keeps on giving, so to speak. Number two. And number three, the third and final message of Yom HaZikaron, which maybe is the most obvious message, but it's one we have to talk about. The first statement that Rav Shimon bar Yochai said in all of Shas, the first statement, his Yahrzeit in a couple of weeks, as we know, on Lag BaOmer. The first statement that Rav Shimon bar Yochai said in Shas, page source 15 on top, Tanya, Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Shalosh Matanos Tovos Nasana Kadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. There were three great gifts that were given to the Jewish people. The Kulam Lo Nitnan El Aidei Yisurin. And all of them are only acquired through suffering, through pain. But they're gifts. And they were all given to us. Ve'elu Hein, Torah, Ve'eretz Yisrael, Ve'olam Haba. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba. Those are the three gifts. We have to remember that the gift that was given to all of us. Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashkiach in the Mir, says, could you imagine a Jew without Torah? Of course not. Could you imagine a Jew without Olam Haba? Of course not. Could you imagine a Jew without Eretz Yisrael? The same answer should be, of course not. A Jew without the connection to Eretz Yisrael is lacking a basic element of his religious personality. Rav Yerucham, who is not known as a great Zionist in that sense, but a great Ohev Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Eleinu hi mi'ikarei HaTorah. He yisod kol HaTorah kula. It's the yisod. V'lo leilech la'aretz inu chalila ke'eno Yisrael. K'mishi yomar Yisrael anochi ulam lo Torah lo Olam Haba. Rejecting Israel is like rejecting Torah, rejecting Olam Haba. It's one of the big three, as the Gemara says in the words of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. We have to recognize this deep connection and internalize the gift of Eretz Yisrael. The gift that the Gemara tells us in one place, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam are in Zocha to. And everybody in this room has been Zocha to the gift of walking on the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Elazar Melamed tells us, Rosh Hashiva in Beit El, source 17, we must emphasize and underscore the rebirth of the Jewish Kibbutz Golios, how they demonstrated to us that the prophecy of the nation in its ancient homeland is so great that it was worthwhile to give up one's life in this world for its sake. This will strengthen us and inspire us to follow their lead. Today, to recognize what our Kedoshim gave their lives for, to inspire us through their lives and through their deaths. It's a story that Rabbi Riskin tells over in his autobiography. He says there was a Rav that he knew in the Upper West Side before he made Aliyah. And then when I first begun my career as the rabbi of Lincoln Square Synagogue, he met a Rav and Rebbetzin Schwartz who were making Aliyah, a European rabbi living on the West Side. Made Aliyah. He had lost his entire first family, wife and children in the Holocaust, remarried in America, and now had two sons, a teenager and a pre-bar mitzvah. In 1964, his family moved to Israel, etc. Later, we were all shocked and saddened to hear that their eldest son had been killed in the Six-Day War. And now, on the plane on the way to Israel toward the end of the Yom Kippur War, I saw that their second son, their only remaining son, had been killed in action as well. I knew I had to pay a shiva call. The notice had the day of the funeral as well, and I calculated that I'd still be able to pay the shiva call. He went to the house of this Rabbi Schwartz who was sitting shiva for his second son. And he said, I didn't say a word. I had nothing to say. I sat there. I cried with everybody else. And then I got up to leave. And I started saying the customary phrase that we say, that Ashkenazim say, at the end of a shiva call, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. And Rabbi Schwartz interrupts him and says, that's the only comfort I have. He says, what are you talking about? Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. When my family was destroyed in the Holocaust, there was no comforting me. It was so senseless, so absurd. But now that I have lost my only remaining sons and have no chance for other children, I am sad, sad beyond even the ability to speak. But I am comforted nonetheless. At least this time, my sons died so that the Jewish people could live. They died in the defense of Israel. They died in defense of Yerushalayim. They died in defense of the Jewish future. Hamakom, the place! Jerusalem, Israel, the Jewish state. Hamakom menachem oti. The place comforts me among the mourners of Zion and Yerushalayim. It's a day to recognize and remember Hamakom, every Jew's connection to this land. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin, source number 18, that when Bizman Hazeh, when a Chassan and Kala get married, the different ways of getting married, we do Kinyan Kesef. I gave my wife a ring. One could give anything of value. My roommate in college, I was an aide kedushin at his wedding. He was a Sephardi. He dropped a coin into his wife's hand. Okay, whatever we use a ring. Okay, how do we know that you use Kinyan Kesef? How do you know that that's one of the ways to get married? So the Gemara has an unusual source. Gemara says there's a Gzeira Shava, the same word used in two different places. It says Ki Yikach in the context of marriage. And it uses the lashon of kicha also when Avram bought Marisa Mapela. Kicha, kicha, mistay Ephron. It's a Gzeira Shava, getting married and buying the Marisa Mapela. And many of the Bali Machshava are bothered. What is this? What? Getting married is like buying a piece of land? So I once heard a pshat. Once saw a pshat. Rabbi Cordoza, I think, said this. Once saw a pshat, no, it's just the opposite. Not that getting married is like buying a piece of land. Our connection to Eretz Yisrael is like a marriage. Every Jew is connected deeply, eternally bound up in its history. We are the only nation in the history of the world that has ever returned to their indigenous homeland after a 2,000-year break. We are the only people who prayed to come back to their homeland and never gave up. And that's what a good spouse does. Committed until the end. So yes, today is also a day that we need to feel that deep connection to our homelands, to God's homelands, to remember the special matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and to breathe in the air of this holy land. Three ideas about Yom HaZikaron. Number one, remember the intensity. Why is it intense again? The connection to the Jewish people, the heritage. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Zchus Avos. We're just like Avraham Avinu in terms of Akedus. Number two, it's a day of giving, the ultimate gift of connecting to the Am. Number three, it's a day when we connect to Eretz Yisrael in the deepest of ways. So now, let us get into these three ideas, second half of the shiur, trying to bring it lamaisa. So what are we supposed to think about? This is true, this is all good, and got some messages, but how can we bring it lamaisa? How can we bring it into our lives? Number one, the connection to our history and to our heritage. Do we realize how amazing it is to be an Orthodox Jew? To be part of such an illustrious heritage? To be able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever we want? To be able to have meaning every day that when we wake up, there's an amazing one word in the Rambam. It's a word. Remember the Rambam? The only thing we have of the Rambam that he wrote in Hebrew is the Mishnah Torah. All the books the Rambam wrote in Arabic, they were translated. But the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, so every word in the Mishnah Torah where we look over it with a fine-tooth comb. Says the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, there are three categories of Brachos that we have in life. that we say. Birchos ha-mitzvah, bracha that we say on mitzvos, before we do a mitzvah. Birchas ha-nehenin, bracha that we make on pleasure, eating, drinking, smelling, pleasure that we imbibe. We don't make a bracha when we go on a soft couch at the end of the day. It doesn't go inside of us. Eating, drinking, smelling, birchas ha-nehenin, and birchas shevach hoda, a bracha on praising and thanking Hashem. Different types of brachas. The Rambam first says it's a bracha to make a bracha on mitzvah, to make a bracha on every pleasure, eating, drinking, smelling. And then let's read the Rambam. The Rambam in source number 19. U'kishem shemavarchin al ha'anoya, just like it's a mitzvah to bring a bracha on pleasure, kach mavarchin, I'll call mitzvah u'mitzvah. So too, it's a mitzvah to make a bracha on every single mitzvah, v'yachar kach yaseh osa. What word bothers us? It's underlined, so gave it away already. Kishem. Just like there's a mitzvah to make a bracha on pleasure, so too there's a mitzvah to make a bracha on a mitzvah. The question is, what does one have to do with the other? The Rambam is connecting the two with that word, just like. If we think about a bracha on pleasure, what is the reason, what is the essence of that bracha? One word, matir, allowance. The food belongs to God. I make a bracha, I acknowledge that He is the creator of all food, I'm allowed to partake. I'm allowed to eat it. That's why we make a bracha before we eat. I make a bracha, shakoni et varo, God, you're awesome. I drink. That's a birchas hanehenin, a bracha on pleasure. What does that have to do with a birchas a mitzvah? I do a mitzvah, I make a bracha before I do a mitzvah. That's not a matir, what does that allow? Seder of Salvation. Yes, it is a matir. What do you mean? Said the Rav Salvation. Who are we to decide that I could try to do something, I could do an action that's called a mitzvah, and I could try to get close to God, the infinite. I am a finite, small ant in the universe, trying to jump up and get close to God, the infinite. Who am I to do such a thing? It would be presumptuous of me to think that I, on my own, could go and talk to the CEO of the world and create a relationship with that, with him, capital H. Who am I to do such a thing? What gives me the right to do a mitzvah to try to get close to him? Make a bracha. If I acknowledge the mitzvah, then I could do the mitzvah. If I acknowledge that Hashem wants the relationship, that Hashem wants me to do things to bring us close to him, so then the mitzvah is something that I make a bracha on, and it's a matir. It's what allows me to then to do a mitzvah. But what does that whole idea mean? Hashem created mitzvos for us to get close to him, for us to do, to appreciate the relationship three times a day, more, whatever you want. You just talk to Hashem. You don't have to do it only during davening. Whatever you want. Privately, you just talk to God. It's an open door policy. We realize the privilege it is that we get to do mitzvahs. The Mishnah says at the end of Makos, everybody knows the Mishnah. Rots HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachos Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give us great schus for Klal Yisrael. L'fichach, here by the Torah mitzvahs. Top of the next page. He wants to give us a merit, so therefore he gave us a lot of mitzvahs. Asks the Maharal Prague, ask the Rambam, ask everybody. Is it a schus to have 613? Why don't you give me 20? Wouldn't that have been better? Let me focus on 20. Okay, 25. 613, that's a good thing? It's a zchus. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael. 613. Why? Why so many mitzvos? There are many different answers to this question. I gave you one for the Rambam in Source 21, which you're not going to do. The Maharal gives another answer. Maybe it's like this, that strict teacher that gives you a lot of work, but you really hate them when they're doing it. But like afterwards, you know, that was the best teacher. The teacher that says, oh, don't come to class, don't worry about it, they don't teach you anything. It's the most strict ones. So that's the Maharal. But there's another answer given by the Sefer HaChinuch in Source 22. The Sefer HaChinuch, the context of the Sefer HaChinuch is the mitzvah and Parshas Va'eschanan, lo titaveh, do not covet. To this, sir, part of the Aseret HaDibros. Don't covet, connected to lo sachmod. The question that the chiddush that the Sefer HaChinuch says is that even non-Jews are obligated in this mitzvah. Even non-Jews are not allowed to covet. He has to say rechidach on himself, but wait a minute. I went to a midrashah to learn for a year, right? I know there are only seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the big three. Right, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Dam, Avodah Zarah, and then, right, murder, adultery, and then Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Aleph, Eivor Ben Achai. Beis, Berachas Hashem, cursing God, euphemism. Gimel, Gezel, stealing. Dalet, Dinim, courts. Moses Av is not there. So what are you talking about? That not to covet is part of the Sefer Mitzvot B'nei Noach, says the Sefer HaChinuch. The seven mitzvot B'nei Noach are not seven mitzvot, but they are seven categories of mitzvot. What, Avodah Zarah is only one mitzvah? There's 25 mitzvot in Avodah Zarah. Gilui Arayos is only one? There's 20 people who they can't marry. Right, so what do you mean? It's categories. This is included in the Isser of stealing. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Not only can they not steal, they can't desire and covet somebody else, which is the first step to stealing. But then the Sefer HaChinuch says our point. But what about us? For them, there's 20 things in one category. But what happened with Jews? Every single detail is another mitzvah. The same 25 things that for all other nations is one mitzvah, we get 25 mitzvahs. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'zakos Es Yisrael. He wants to give us merits, and he made every little detail of what we do into a mitzvah. Because every area of our life can be sanctified. Every detail, how we put on our shoes can be sanctified. Because that's what it means to be a Jew. We can uplift everything. What great simcha we should have! The Ramchal and Mesillas Yesharim writes, there's no greater simcha than just to realize that we get to serve Hashem. That He is there for us. That He wants the relationship. I mentioned in another context. If you might have heard me, I might have mentioned this. There's a great comment from Yecheskel Abramsky. He's one of the greats from England. We say every morning, the first words that come out of our mouth every morning shouldn't be, I can't believe it's the morning. Shouldn't be a groan. Right? The first words. The first thing we say every day and the last thing we say every day should be to Hashem. The first thing we say every day, Moda Ani. Doesn't have shame Hashem because we didn't wash our hands yet. The last thing we say, Amapio, that Hashem Hashem. That's fine. But the first thing we say, Moda Ani. Moda Ani Lefanecha. Melech Chai V'Kayam. God, thank you. Shechzarta Bi Nishmasi, Kama. Right? The song messes it up a little bit. Right, Bechemla Rabba. No, that's wrong. You have to put a comma after Bechemla, because it doesn't make sense. Right? I lost the train. You gave me back my neshama, Bechemla, with compassion. Rabba emunasecha. Great is, translate, your emuna. What does that mean? Your emuna? It should be Rabba emunasi, my emuna. We have only said that thousands of times in our life. What does it mean, Rabbe Emuna Secha? It should be Rabbe Emuna Si, my Emuna. What do you mean, Rabbe Emuna Secha, your Emuna? Says Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, Hashem, if you gave me another day, if you allowed me to wake up again, it must be that you have Emuna in me, that I have a purpose to fulfill today. That I have something that I need to do today to serve you, or else I wouldn't have woken up. Rabbe Emuna Secha, you have Emuna in me. We say every single morning, and that should motivate us to get out of bed. So we are in the shoes of Avram Avinu, the illustrious heritage that we take with us, with Mesiras Nefesh, but also in all areas of our Avodas Hashem. Let us be proud and take our place in the illustrious history that we are privileged to be part of, being the next link in the chain of Jewish history. Number one message. Number two, what was the second idea that we spoke about? Giving. Rav Dessler, the ultimate day of giving. Creating the connection of the giving to the Am. We need to recognize that we are Guf Echad. Like Bilam told the nations, it's an Achdus based on the Torah. We nearly need to believe this. And it's ideas that we have to work on. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, you all know it. Why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? Why was the second base of Mikdash destroyed? The second base of Mikdash, Sinas Chinam. How many thousands of years it's been? So many years. The first base of Mikdash were other Averis. But obviously we haven't fixed it yet. Obviously we don't show the love for each other enough. Hashem still hasn't decided to give us back the Beis HaMikdash. The Meshech Chachma writes, the next page, source 25, the Meshech Chachma writes that if you look in the world of halacha, when there's a difference between personal, individual sins and national sins. When it comes to individual sins, Hashem is very upset by Bein Adam LaMakom sins. Shabbos, Avodah Zarah. But when it comes on the national level, when it comes to the Am, Hashem is much more upset about the Bein Adam LaChavero sins. Hashem was able to forgive the Chet HaEgel, Avodah Zarah, but he wasn't able to forgive the Meraglim. Everybody had to die in the Midbar the next 40 years. The Meraglim, they couldn't get along with each other. The Yerushalmi tells us, the Meshech Chachma quotes it, in the days of Achav, one of the worst kings, Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, but they all won their wars. You know why? Because they got along with each other. And in other times of more righteous kings, they didn't win every war because there was inner fighting. It's so painful for a parent when the kids fight with each other. It drives the parent crazy. Just stop already! Personal experience, right? It's just, you know, it just stop! It's just, all of you as children, as siblings, that makes Hashem crazy because we can't get along with each other. And Yom HaZikaron is a day that we could try to think, what could I do for my friend? Somebody who I'm not so friendly with. Maybe I'll go out of my way for her. Maybe I'll go out of my way to buy something for so-and-so. Make a phone call. We're all on the same team. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that there were 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. The fire went straight up. The fire never went out. The smoke. Nobody ever got sick. The meat didn't spoil. There were no bugs. Tons of many different miracles. What was the last miracle? The last one listed in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So usually this is said, oh, there was plenty of room in Yerushalayim. Nobody, right, no, there's plenty of room. Doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Let's read the Mishnah closely. What does the Mishnah say? V'lo amar adam l'chaveiro tzar li ha-makom sh'alim b'Yerushalayim. Nobody ever said to their friend, it's too squishy in here. So what does the Mishnah say? It doesn't say it wasn't squishy. It doesn't say there was enough room. It says nobody complained about it. It was tight. V'lo amar adam l'chaveiro. Because when we're on the same team, even if we're a little squished, it's okay. If I'm next to my good friends, squished. If I'm next to a stranger on the subway, it's not so comfortable. Right? I'm not so good. But if I'm next to my friends and we're all squished and we're fun, we're on a bus, we're going on a deal, it's fine. Because we're all on the same team. All of Klal Yisrael is on the same team. We have to recognize Guf Echad. We have to learn from our brothers. We have to learn from Noam Apter, from Gadi Ezri. We have to learn from all of the Kedoshim who gave for us that we are all one. As the song goes, Ki ish echad b'lev echad lo retze liyot levad. Rak lanetzach sheves achim gam yachad. And finally, the third theme and message that we can take with us. The connection to Eretz Yisrael. It's a matana, it's a gift. We need to deepen our appreciation of it, and all of us, and all of you who have the schus of being here for a year or two, have to realize the tremendous opportunity that many of your great-grandparents would never have dreamed possible. To be able to learn and be here in Eretz Chemda. In benching, we call Eretz Yisrael Eretz Chemda. The desired land, Eretz Chemda. What exactly, where do we find that word? Eretz Chemda. Such an unusual lashon. Says Rav Soloveitchik, again, there's a birchon that came out recently, a bencher with the Rav's commentary. So in that birchon, he has this thought. I mentioned to a Rav in Beit Shem, he's like, oh, I was at that shir. So he heard it, so and now it's printed. Said Rav Soloveitchik, what does it mean Eretz Chemda, the desired land? Where do we find? It's quoted from the Vilna Gaon. When you want to know the real essence of a word, look at the first time it's mentioned in the Torah. That'll be the essence of a word. So for example, just parenthetical, where's the first place time love is mentioned in the Torah? Who loved who? Where's the first time it's mentioned? Right, so we think, what? was the first time the word Ahava is mentioned in the Torah. So one might think Rivka Ohava says Yaakov.
Not
before that. What? What? But he didn't, doesn't say he loved. Kachna as Bincha, as Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, as Yitzchak. Father, son, parent, child is the first love. And then the second love is husband, wife. So here too, where's the first place that Chemda is mentioned in the Torah? Says Rav Soloveitchik, Eitz Hadas, Nechmad Lamara. The tree was Nechmad. Like the word Chemda. What does that mean? What does it mean that it was desired? Desirous. Says Rav Soloveitchik, let's read his words. Line 5. There is one type of beauty that is aesthetically pleasing, but it does not necessarily attract a person. However, there's another kind of beauty that pulls a person to it like a magnet. The person somehow becomes intoxicated in the face of such beauty and cannot resist it. I need it. When Chava saw the tree, she fell under its spell and, like a sleepwalker, almost involuntarily reached out for its fruit. She couldn't control herself. She had to have the fruit. This is Chemda, continues the Rav. When we refer to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Chemda, we mean that this is the land that attracts the Jewish people. It enchants us and will never let us go. Indeed, at no point in our long, painful diaspora did we ever give up on Eretz Yisrael. No matter how distant we are, we cannot escape the pull of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chemda, Tova or Rechava, our second bracha and benching, should never be the same. It's Eretz Chemda. It's a day to remember the magical pull. What brought the Ramban here 800 years ago, even though he didn't find a minion of Jews in Yerushalayim, and he left being the Gadol Adar where he was in Europe? It's a magnetic pull, and it's a gift. Another amazing Ha'ara, Rav Mirsky, in a different one of his Svarim, quotes from the Ishbitzer. Think about benching. Continuing benching. Think about the first bracha benching, the only bracha d'oraisa that we have. Hazanis olam kulo b'tuvo, hu nosein lechem l'chol basar. It's all in third person. U'v'tuvo agadol, and his goodness, hu nosein lechem l'chol basar. U'v'tuvo tamal ochasar lanu, v'al yechsar lanu. He did nothing. He didn't give us, he didn't cause anything to be missed. It's all him. Hazan es hakol. Second bracha. All of a sudden there's a switch. Noda l'cha. Talking to God, straight. You took us out of Egypt. What happened? Why is the first bracha in third person and the second bracha is first second person talking to Hashem? Says the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz. Who wrote the first bracha and who wrote the second bracha? The first bracha was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not get to go into Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't talk to God in the same intense, direct way as Yoshua ben Nun, who wrote the second bracha, and he could say no delacha. And he could talk to God on the intense level that a Jew in Chutz La'aretz cannot. V'kivin shemoshe lo zacha la'alos la'aretz Yisrael, line 14. L'fichach lo amar elokeinu elo amar elokecha. Shekein l'bnei Yisrael kivin es dvarav v'chulu. He quotes that from earlier, but then he quotes, that's why, the last bracha, he said it, the last paragraph, Birchasaris no delacha tikin Yeshua, kishen nichnasim Yisrael eretz v'udoma k'mishish lo aloka, and that's why he says no delacha. It's a day that we have to remember the eretz chemda, the connection. It's a great day to review the Ramban, which I'm sure many of you learned this year. That every mitzvah that is done in Eretz Yisrael is different, even if it's not connected to a mitzvah tuliyah ba'aretz. Tefillin and mezuzah, says the Ramban, in source 29. We're not going to read the whole thing. Every mitzvah that we do, the special hashgacha that this land has, never lose the feeling of the privilege that it is to just take a bus to the Kotel, seeing Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach on the buses. Every fruit, every vegetable has Kedusha. In November, my son had his tekes, not his tekes gupta, his hashpa'ah really it was, at the Kotel. And according to this in another shir, one of his mefaktim, one of his officers said to everyone there, the hundreds of sanchanim and all the parents in Hebrew, but he said, look in front of you and look behind you. In front of you is the Kotel, connection to God and the land. And behind you is your family, your support network. Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. We have to know what they fought for That's what it's all about. The first conversation that Hashem had with each of the Avos, the first conversation was about Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu, lech lecha, me'artcha, mimalatcha, mebeis avicha, source 30. Source 31, Yitzchak Avinu is thinking about going down to Mitzrayim. The first time God speaks to Yitzchak in Torah Shebichsav. What does he say? Don't leave. This is your land, and for your children you can't leave. Yaakov Avinu, the first time God speaks to him, is by the ladder. He's sleeping. Vayetze, v'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, v'yomer, ani Hashem elokei Avram avicha, elokei Yitzchak, ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha, lecha etnena ulezarecha. The first conversation that Hashem has with each of the Avos. It is a day to feel, to connect, and to experience life in Eretz Yisrael. So yes, Yom HaZikaron is an intense day. It should be an intense day. We should appreciate the sacrifice, the giving, the heroism of every single one of the Kedoshim. We should learn about their lives and not only about their deaths. But we should also use this very special day, the day I once heard described on the radio as a day of a national hug. Everybody has their own day of yahrzeit, but this is a day when everybody feels the family of the nation. We have to use the day to deepen our appreciation of being a Jew, what his chus it is to serve Hashem each day, Rabbe Emunasecha, being in the tradition, the chus avos, following Avram Avinu, number one. Number two, to rededicate ourselves to Avas Yisrael, giving and doing what we could do to really feel Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. And finally, to recognize our marriage to the special land, Kicha Kicha Miste Ephraim. If we could do all this, or at least some of it, then the memory of all of the Kedoshim will be a ner l'raglenu, and we'll be able to bring ourselves closer to Hashem until the day that the words of the Rambam could be fulfilled. The Rambam who says in Source 33, why do we want Mashiach so much? Why did all the prophets talk about Mashiach? Why? L'fisha ba'osan ha'yamim tarba ha'deya ba'chachma. Well, I skipped the line before. V'yimtzulem margoa. Because we won't have any enemies anymore. And nobody will be mafriyim. Nobody will bother us and make us not be able to serve God. L'fisha ba'osan ha'yamim tarba ha'deya ba'chachma va'emes. We'll all be inspired. We'll all be able to live in peace. We'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu following the lead of Mashiach. No enemies, just basking in the glory of Hashem. Let us realize how great it is to be a Jew, how great it is to be part of Am Yisrael, how great it is to be in Eretz Yisrael. Let's take the messages of Yom HaZikaron into our lives, celebrating in a couple of hours, a day from now, the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and B'ez Hashem, trying to do what we can to take every day on the Jewish calendar to better ourselves and to better those around us.
We would like to say thank you for having